For Parshas Bo, we want to discuss a certain image, a certain mashal that Chazal offer over and over again based on Psukim in Tanakh of Klal Yisrael. And we begin, of course, with Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who speaks about Yitzias Yisrael Mimitzrayim. When the Jews left Egypt, the Navi defines that as Avas Klulosayach. Koma Hashem Zachati Lo Chesed Nurayach Avas Klulosayach Lechtei Achrai Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zrua. And this concept of Avas Klulosayach, which is marriage, and the comparison of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael as a Nisun, as a kind of marriage relationship, is something that reflects itself in Rashi, in Parshas Bo, based on the Mechilta, based on the Tanchuma, that the Navi Yirmiyah compares the going of Klal Yisrael, following in the lead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the desert, to a Nisuin relationship, because the Pasuk says, Ki garshu mi Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu l'smamea v'gam tzeda lo asu lahem. And Rashi says, Magid shvachem shal Yisrael, Shelo Amru Heich Neitzei La Midbar Belo Tzeda. Klal Yisrael did not raise questions of faith. How could they go out into the Midbar, into the wilderness, without supplies? Elahaminu V'holch. Rashi says they had total faith. They went, and Rashi says Humafurish BeKabbalah. This we can find in Nach Zacharti Lo Chesed Nurayach Avas Klul Soich Lechtei Chachrei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zrua. Umaschar Mafurish Achrov Kodesh Yisrael Lashem. And what we'd like to analyze today is the conceptual comparison between marriage and Yitzias Mitzrayim. We find in the Midrashim another parallel between marriage and Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Bamidbar Rabbah, the Midrash says that Klal Yisrael received the appellation Gefen, the vine, the vineyard, and all its different parts. And when did they receive this? When did Klal Yisrael become the Gefen? That's with Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Vayehi b'shalach paro, and the Medrash points out, Hado d'chsiv shir ashirim perek dalid, where Klal Yisrael is called Pardes Rimonim, Omer Ablevi Mashal li'echad shaylo sadeh v'hayaba gal shel tzroros. So this man had a field. It looked like a second-rate field because there were piles of stones on the ground, and he sold the field probably at a cheap price. And the buyer decided to move all the stones out with all the effort that it would take. And what did he find underneath? He found Mayim Chayim, a source of water, of live, fresh water. And so he planted vines. He made lines and lines of netios, of plantings. He planted other things like rimonim and besamim, and he set up, you know, these kind of reed mechitzos between the various sections, and the sod looked absolutely beautiful. Anyone who passed by would say about the person who bought the field, wow, look what a great job he did, look what a beautiful field it is. And when the seller himself passed by, he thought to himself, oh no, woe to me that I sold such a field. Woe to feel that it's no longer mine. And when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, there was a Gal Shel Tzroros, and that's symbolized by the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. What is this Gal Shel Tzroros, this pile of stones? Gan Na'ul Achosi Kala, Gan Na'ul Mayan Chasum. And Baruch Hashem, with great Siyata Dishmaya, Klal Yisrael, our forefathers, left Mitzrayim. They became a Pardes Rimonim, a beautiful Pardes Rimonim. Shalachech Pardes Rimonim, the Pasuk refers to Klal Yisrael. And then it says, in the Medrash Nasu ki gefen hayayin, they became like the vines that give us wine. And the Medrash invokes the Pasuk in Tilim, gefen mimitzrayim tisayea, tasia, nasu shuros shuros. Klal Yisrael went out in various rows, like the gefen, like the vine that's planted in rows. And we want to know why this deliberate choice of Gefen as the symbol of Klal Yisrael. It's not coincidental. Once again, the Medrash tells us that the pasuk says, "Ki kol ha'etzim bikshu," that the Medrash says that that with regard to the meeting out the punishment to Haman, each one of the different trees came forward with its candidacy. They wanted to be the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy Amalek. Vayitav Adar v'flei Amalek vayasa eitz. So the Medrash asks, Me'eza eitzim haya oso eitz. And the Chachamim say that when the various eitzim came and they presented their candidacy, ultimately, even though the Te'ena, the date tree, said, Ani atenas atzmi, shemimeni mevim yisrael bikurim, I have a special yichus because the dates are one of the Shiva Saminim that brought onto the Mizbeach for Bikurim. And nevertheless, Geffen came forward offering her candidacy, She Bi Nimshalu Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael are compared in this metaphor, in this simile, to a Geffen. Hadok Siv Geffen Mi Mitzrayim Tasia. You'll take out the Geffen from Mitzrayim and Pasuk in Tilim in Kapitel Pei. We find, by the way, that the ideal Nisuin, according to Chazal, is the marriage between a Talmud Chacham and a Bas Talmud Chacham, about which the Gemara quotes the famous statement, Inve Agefen, Beinve Agefen, Dover Na Umiskabel. So we see here once again a parallel between marriage and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheni Achrecha Narutza V'yadi HaMelech Hadara, Rashi quotes the drush of Chazal that Bnei Yisrael ran after HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Midbar without any supplies. And then the pasuk says, Nogilav Nischabach Nazkira Dodecha Miyayin Meisharim Aivuch, again the comparison to Yayin, to the Geffen, Aivucha. This is all a simile, a metaphor to Geffen. And the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that according to Rav Yosef, the Geffen and its success to produce grapes is very much dependent upon the owner, the mazel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the owner. And Rav Yosef says if a person sells yayin to his friend, and the yayin after the purchase ferments and it becomes chametz, it becomes hichmetz, it becomes chamutz, then the lokeach, the buyer, has no claim of mekachtos, because the reason for the hachmotzas ayayin is because of the bad mazel of the buyer. If the yayin had remained in the hands of the mocher, it's quite possible that it wouldn't have become machmetz. The hachmotzah is not something that's related to the mocher, but rather it's related to the lokeach, to the buyer. And therefore, it's his problem. And Rav Yosef invokes a pasuk in Chavakuk Hanavi, V'afki ayayin boged gever yahir v'lo yinven. Here, there's a word in this pasuk that we want to emphasize. And that is yahir. Yahir, otherwise known as yura, is gaiva, someone who is self-centered, full of himself. And the Gemara in Bava Basra that we mentioned quotes Rav Mori, Haiman de Yoyer, a person who is such a balgaiva and he's so self-centered, is afilu al inchi base lomis kabel. Even the members of his household are not excited about him. They don't literally receive him, meaning receive him well. He's not miskabel in even his own house. And when we talk about a good marriage, we're talking about this concept of being miskabel. If a person is got a what we call a dover na in marriage, it's a na umiskabel. And the idea, the concept of being miskabel means that he receives from her and she from him. That's the nature of the mutual relationship in marriage. And one of the most important ingredients in successful marriage is the opposite of yura, is anava. I feel humble. I feel that my partner has what to teach me and I have what to learn. The Geffen represents the best of yayin. What is the best of yayin, the pasuk says in Chavakuk? It's the yayin that's antithetical to yahir. It's the yayin of a person of a midah of anova. This is the secret success to a happy marriage. When one or the other of the two partners feels, you know, I'm greater and so forth. So that's the beginning and the root of a downfall, if you will, of marriage, chas v'shalom. And the nesuin is called klulos. Interesting. Avas klulos sayach. Why do we use the word klulos, the Lashon Kodesh, to indicate marriage? And the answer is because klulos comes from the language of hiskalulus. Hiskalulus means that there's an integration of both him and her, a synthesis, if you will. It's a dovra noam miskabel when the two partners in a marriage understand that they have to behave in a way that projects humility. They don't have gaiva. They don't show, oh, I'm greater than you. The harmony of marriage becomes perfect when both partners can integrate together hiskalulus, as we said, klulas yofi, as one entity. That's when they integrate to form one mizug, as we would say, one synthesis. They complete each other. It's a beautiful relationship. Each one gets something from the other and includes now or incorporates now into his personality or her personality something of the ben zug of the partner. And if a person is a yahir, if he thinks so highly of himself, then eino miskabel al ishto. He cannot receive from his wife. He feels he's complete on his own, independent. That's his yura. And there's so many comparisons between Klal Yisrael and Geffen, because Klal Yisrael is a representative, an embodiment, paradigmic of Anov and Shiflus, of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will be makabel, we'll receive whatever you can give us, we will implement whatever you mandate to us. For example, we find that the Navi says that Klal Yisrael is like a Geffen. Chazal interpreted my Geffen as a namuch mikol ha'ilonos. You know, the vines are not very high. They don't grow very high. They're sort of low, closer to the ground, in comparison, in contrast to other trees that grow in the field. Yisrael is also like the Geffen. And the Medrash says, nemuchim bi'olam hazeh, in this world, they are bowed down. Avol yosid lovo liasidim lirash misofolam ve'ad sofam. Geffen yeshbo eshkolos gedolim uktanim. Every vine gives forth these beautiful clusters of grapes. Some clusters are larger, some are smaller. And one is on top, and one is on the bottom. One is high, one is a little bit lower. So to kach in the Nimshal, says the Medrash, kol misha godol michaveru nomuch michaveru. You would think that someone who's lower down on this cluster is inferior. No, he's greater because of his feeling of anova. And that's the critical element in marriage, and that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim, in forging the Jewish people, is all about, to forge a nation of this kind of humility and sensitivity. There's another comparison in the Medrash. Ma gefen azener peses beregel. Sometimes a person steps on parts of the vine because they're so close to the ground. But nevertheless, at the end of the process, from these grapes, we produce wine, which is olal shulchan malachim, which gets to the king's table. That's what Klal Yisrael is. And all these different comparisons in the Medrash are really coming to indicate that the Geffen symbolizes what we call humility and shiflus, the opposite antithetical of yehirus, of gaiva. And this is extremely appropriate, almost a mirror image of the Gemara Bava Basra of Yosef, that if you buy yayin and then it spoils on you, don't come and claim mekartos, I want my money back, I want to reverse the sale. No, wine depends upon the person. A person who embodies the principle of anova that's symbolized by the yayin, that's a person who is gadol mechaver, even though he looks namuch mechaver, but he's really greater than chavero. A person who feels himself to be greater than chaver because of his gaiva, He's really the opposite. He's real namuch mi'chaviro. And this is what it means when the Gemara tells us that man de'iu zayir, iu rav, he who has this zayira means a kadnus, you know, he feels himself humble, he's really rav, he's really merubam, he's really greater than others. And it works the other way around too. On the pasuk of Yitzavum el b'nei Yisrael, that at the beginning of the process of the Geula Mitzrayim, there was a command to b'nei Yisrael, Amar lema kodesh baruch hu, the Medrash says. B'nei sarvonim heim, in other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent on this mission to Klal Yisrael, he was notified from the get-go that it's not going to be an easy path. It's a very rocky path. Because Klal Yisrael is broken up, can be broken up into different groups, subsets. There are Ragzonim who get angry, there are Tarchonim who will make you, you know, impose upon you, and there are those who will say that we don't want to accept you as our Redeemer, as our leader. There are those who will even curse you. There are those who will even go further and they want to stone you. The Medrash tells us about many different groups in Klal Yisrael. Groups of complainers, of maligners, that came to Moshe and Aaron. When Moshe and Aaron came to present themselves as the Shluchei Hashem to be Goel as Klal Yisrael, one group said, Mala zeh shelo gadol mineinu, this is a foreign individual, El bebeis ha-Mitzrim, he was raised in the house of Mitzrayim. Another group came forward and said, Klum savalnu kol sevel hazeh sheyovu kvad peh, zevi galenu. What, after all this suffering, God sends us a stutterer? A third group says, Tov, shivteinu b'midbar mimuseinu b'shivteinu b'mitzrayim mimuseinu b'midbar, we'd rather stay here and with all the subjugation and the oppression of Mitzrayim than go out to die in the desert. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have an easy job when he came and presented himself as the Redeemer of Israel to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning him, you should know by taking upon yourself the mantle of leadership, you're going to have to face klolos and skilos and all sorts of maligners and attackers that try to undermine you. But even so, despite these various groups of underminers and maligners and complainers and rebellious individuals, rove Klal Yisrael, so the majority, the healthy part of Klal Yisrael, the silent majority in this case, batchu b'Moshe, they relied on Moshe. And vayamein ha'am vayishmu ki pakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael v'chi ra'as anyam vayikdu vayishtachavu. In other words, vayikdu vayishtachavu, they were humble. They didn't come to attack and rebel and undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. They accepted Moshe Rabbeinu. And if a person is a Yahir, if he's a Balgaiva, he cannot be Mevatel himself. He cannot accept the authority of someone else, of some sort of leadership. He thinks he's greater than the leadership. But we, Klal Yisrael, essentially have this Midah, this attribute of Bittul, of not building ourselves up, but rather accepting a leader. And it all comes from the fact that we appreciate and acknowledge the great level of our leader. But a person who's a Yair, he thinks of himself, he's the great Chacham. Well, he thinks he's a greater politician, a greater leader. He's more powerful, he's more courageous, he weighs more, he's heavier. And therefore, it's almost impossible to get him to be a loyal subject. And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael with this great besorah to tell them that Hashem has now remembered them to redeem them from Egypt, the very first test that Klal Yisrael had to face immediately at this level, at this very early stage, is whether or not they would accept a manhig, a leader, and follow him. After all, with all the tzaras of Shibud, the people of Israel understand and they appreciate that going out to the desert, that great massive wilderness, which is absolutely awesome and awe-inspiring, a place where there are serpents, where there are scorpions, where women and children are going to be exposed to all these dangers. It's almost like suicidal. And where will be the source for sustenance, for water? And you know what? If the Mitzrim will pursue them, then what's going to happen? You needed an unbelievable level of courage, of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to agree to follow Moshe Rabbeinu into the wilderness. And again, even though there were groups of Jews who unfortunately were complainers, but nevertheless, that doesn't represent the bulk and the majority of Klal Yisrael. Those who were complainers thought that they were too chashiv. They built themselves up. They didn't want to listen to the voice and to the guidance and leadership of Moshe and Aaron. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, they understood, they accepted, they believed, and they passed that first great test. And therefore, they are called Geffen. That's why the Pasuk says, Geffen Mitzrayim Tasiya. God says, I will take the Geffen out of Mitzrayim. They represent the shiftless, the anova. They are willing to accept the mantle, the leadership, and the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. We understand very well that Klal Yisrael will be compared through this simile to a vine. Dafka at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya, because at that moment they accepted Moshe Rabbeinu with a great humility. Zacharti lo chesed nurayach avas klu osayach. Avas klu osayach means that Klal Yisrael are connected to their leader. Every member of Klal Yisrael is kolel himself in the leadership, the mantle of leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, and believes in Moshe as the Navi, as the Goel of Klal Yisrael. And this parallel between the marriage life and Yetzias Mitzrayim is essentially this fundamental attribute, this concept of Anova and Shiflus, of these attributes of humility that are absolutely critical within the framework of marriage. Without it, there's no chance of a successful marriage. And this means we have to go to the opposite of that group of people who did not want to accept Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to become part of a unity under the leadership of our great Moshe Rabbeinu. Without that ability of being an anav, of being humble, to accept, number one, Moshe Rabbeinu is your leader, vayaminu b'Moshe. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not take the people out of Mitzrayim. It's only after they pass this test, that's when they receive the name, the appellation Geffen, which indicates their midah of anava. And that's why Yirmiyahu says, with regard to Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, avas klu osayich, ha-hachlala, combining themselves and integrating themselves like two partners in a marriage relationship. That's what makes it possible through anava for Klal Yisrael to be nigal, to be redeemed, to be incorporate their entire selves, so to speak, with the manig and be dovik with Moshe Rabbeinu as the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in the Hemi and Achamuni, he quotes the Gemara in Chulin, Omer Rav Shim ben Lakish Umazu kegefen nimshala. And what is it that's unique about the Geffen when we looked at the vine? It has so many different parts to its moros. There are the barks, the bark of the wood, those are the balabatim. There are the eshkalos, there are the clusters of grapes that come from the vine, those are the talmidei chachamim. There are the olin, which are the leaves that have no tam, no reach, they are the amioretz. And then there's knuknus shabai, rekim shabi Yisrael. There are parts of the vine that have to be thrown out, but yet they are part of the vine. And they grow together with the vine. Those represent the rekonim shabi Yisrael. In other words, Klal Yisrael is a composite, a makeup of many different types and personalities and attributes. And sholchu misam li boy rachmim, Iskalaya al ila til moli olyalom iskaimon iskaloi. We have to be mavakesh rachamim. We have to ask Hashem to have mercy on the clusters of grapes, on the olim, on all the different parts of the vine, because if not for the olim, there wouldn't be eshkolos. Am Yisrael is made up of many different groups, but the kium, the existence of the people as one entity, is absolutely critical to recognize each one of these groups and their contribution to Klal Yisrael, like the Yud Beis Shvatim. Even the Reikonim Shebehem have a place, have a role to play. The Olim, the Anofim are there to guard over the fruits. That's how it works in a vine. And that's what it means when the Ami Oretz are there as a shmira to be part of Klal Yisrael, to create security for Klal Yisrael, for the Talmidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael. If it's so important for Klal Yisrael to have this unity that is a complete composite makeup of all these different elements, and after Yitzis Mitzrayim, to bring them up to Har Sinai, up to Vayichen Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar Ki Yishech Belevachan, this was critical. This was the Midah of Anova that would allow the Jewish people to integrate and form one entity. And if you imagine water that comes from a high place and falls to a low place, that's always a mashal for Torah. Torah is miskayim when someone who goes lower, he's a shofel. And therefore there's one flow of ideas here about shiflus, about feeling humility, that Midah, that attribute of shiflus, is what brings Klal Yisrael to be called a Geffen, and that's going to project Klal Yisrael throughout its history to be inspired and uplifted to achieve unity and achdus. Talmidei Chacham should understand and recognize the significance of the Reikonim, and the Reikonim should understand the significance of the Talmidei Chachamim. Each group of Klal Yisrael has its own role to play, its own contribution to make. And that unity of this new synthesis, of this entity of Klal Yisrael, is absolutely critical as a precondition for Kabbalah Satorah. The Torah can only be given to Anoshim Shvelim. The Torah is given on our Sinai, the lowest of the mountains. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, Klal Yisrael, help Klal Yisrael, guide them, inspire them, so that they can be integrated together into one beautiful unity of Ish Echad Kelev Echad. And in that Zchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Masiya, the people of Israel, and take them out of Golus, the long, bitter Golus of Klal Yisrael, and bring them to the Geula Shleima, the Karav Mamish. Now, if we're studying Parshas Bo, Al Pi Hema Yenachamuni, then what I'd like to add here is the mitzvah given at the very end of the parasha of Tefillin. And the Pasuk reads in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes, V'hoylech Olios Al Yodecho L'Zikaron Beninecho. And this is the reference to Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. And then it says, L'mantia Torah Hashem Beficha, Ki Biyad Chazaka, Hotziacha Hashem Yimitzrayim. What is it that's so unique about Tefillin? Chazal tell us in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin that if somebody didn't put on Tefillin, he's called a Karkafta de Lomonach Tefillin. And the Rosh in his Hilchus Tefillin and Simon Chav Ches points out that we find no other essay like Tefillin that has such a great reward and a terrible punishment if a person is mezalzel b'tefillin. He's called a karkafta d'lomonach tefillin. And why is it that a person who chas v'shalom omits the mitzvah of tefillin gets such a negative, description? He gets a really bad blood here. He gets called a karkafta d'lomonach tefillin. We don't find that with regard to any of the other mitzvahs. And the Torah itself says, L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha, as if to say that Tefillin is like Torah Hashem. In fact, based on this Hekesh, between Tefillin and Torah, the Gemara establishes in Kedushin Lamed Hei that women are exempt from Tefillin, just as they are exempt from Torah study. And not only that, they are exempt from all mitzvahs which are like Tefillin. In other words, L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha means that Tefillin represents the entire Torah. And just like Tefillin is a mitzvah seishas man groma, and we know that Noshim HaPeturos, by virtue of the analogy to Torah, is so to all mitzvah seishas man groma. We see how fundamental this equation, this hekesh, is between Tefillin and Torah Hashem b'ficha. And the Medrash Rabba says in Dvarim that HaMeniach Tefillin Malol HaVakosev Kilukiyam Eskol HaTorah Kula. Why is it? What's unique about Tefillin? Why does it get upgraded to this unique status? The reward is immense. It's kilukiyam es kol haTorah kula. Chas v'shalom, if one omits this mitzvah, he's mevatel the mitzvah. It's karkafta l'manach tefillin. Tefillin become the representative of the entire Torah here. L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. The hekesh between tefillin and the entire Torah. Why? Interesting. We find with regard to tefillin another unique halacha, which we don't find anywhere else in other mitzvahs, and that is that tefillin tzrichim guf naki. This is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes. Tefillin, we don't educate the children and train them when they're very, very young, which we could do for other mitzvahs. Even in the case of talis, we're going to wait till the child is a little bit older, but in the case of tefillin, we wait till the child is able to be shomer as tefillah. He has to be able to reach the level of what we call nekius gufo. His body is absolutely clean and not polluted in any way. So with regard to the other mitzvahs, we'll see, well, how mature is he? Is he ready for the mitzvah? Let's move on forward. But in the case of tefillin, maybe he knows how to put on tefillin. He knows how to put on talis, and we'll give him talis. But tefillin we're not going to give him because he may know how to do the technika of putting on the tefillin, but is he able to guard his body as a gufnaki? With choshesh, you know, we're afraid that maybe he won't be shomer gufo b'nikius, and therefore we delay educating him, being mechanic him in the mitzvah of tefillin until he's much later, until he's very closer to his bar mitzvah age. And it's very interesting that back in the old times, and my father used to say this about his maternal grandfather, Rabbi Yitzchak Sorkin, they would wear tefillin the whole day long. That's how important tefillin is. The whole day they were wearing tefillin. My father says he can't remember his grandfather without tefillin. And Rav Shrira Gaon, one of the Gaonim, say that already in our time, we have to be mevatel this minhag and leave it for the Yechidei Skula, because how many of us can actually wear tefillin and be in that state of Kedusha the whole day? Hismatu adoros, he says. Our generation is not like the previous generations. You can't expect the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael to adopt this wonderful, beautiful tradition, which was the original way it was in the midst of tefillin, to have a guf naki and all the mind is focused on tefillin for an entire day. How can you expect that? But why is it that tefillin of all mitzvahs requires a guf naki? We don't find it in any other mitzvahs. You know, you don't take a lulav unless you have a guf naki. I don't know where it says that in Shulchan Aruch. I don't think it says it anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. You can't eat matzah unless you have a guf naki. I don't think it says it anywhere. But tefillin is unique, and the halacha requires a guf naki. Also, it's very interesting when the Pasuk says, Toras Hashem Beficha, the Gemara establishes in Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Menachos that Beficha means that tefillin have to be written on a cloth. The cloth has to be made from the hides of a kosher animal. But if it's a Behemet Meah, you can't make tefillin, you can't make the bias of tefillin from a Behemet Meah. Why? Because Beficha means Menamuta Beficha. Okay, this is a difficult halacha in and of itself, because it doesn't mean that the tefillin are written on the oros of an animal that could be eaten. What I mean to say is, if it's a species of a kosher animal, but if the animal died without shechita, the animal is a trefa, an avela, you can't eat the animal. But yet the hides of such an animal, insofar as the species is a kosher species, is kosher for tefillin. And the whole idea that, you know, beficha means that which you could eat, it's muta beficha, is very strange. I mean, we're not eating tefillin. And if you're talking about the requirement of behemoth tahora, well, you should also add that it should be shechted properly, it should not be an avela or trefa, because if it's an avela or trefa, you're not allowed to eat it. So where's the beficha, meaning a davar shenitan la'achila? It's not nitan la'achila. It's not muta beficha because it's a trefa, it's an avela. No, that's only an isra achila, an avela trefa. That doesn't ask the hides of the tefillin, of the animal, excuse me, of the avela to be used for tefillin. So there's this sort of complicated tension here in the halacha. On the one hand, you can't take the skins, the hides of a non-kosher animal. That's not muta beficha. But on the other hand, you're allowed to take a nevela from a kosher species, even though it died without shechit and it's aser b'achil, so where's the beficha? That has to be understood. But this halacha of minamosa beficha is derived from tefillin to many, many other halachas. For example, the nal of chalitza has to be made from or behemet Torah, not or behemet meah. Also, the shofar has to be taken from a behemah ksheira, not from a behemah tmeah. as the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, and it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Tovkuv Peivov. You need Minamuta Beficha, but Tefillin becomes the paradigm to set the standards for all mitzvahs that we need Minamuta Beficha. Whether it be the Na'al Shel Chalitza, whether it be the shofar that we blow in Rosh Hashanah, all the halachas of the Torah are influenced and impacted by this paradigmic case of Tefillin. What is so special about Tefillin? And the answer is, I believe, Kshira. The Torah says, Ukshartem, with regard to Tefillin. Ukshartem li'os al yodecha. We don't find this concept of kshira on the goof with regard to any other mitzvah. Tefillin is absolutely unique. It's singular in that way. A man could hold on to a lulav. He can put a mezuzah on his door. He can even eat matzah. All this is not called kshira leguf. It's not binding something to the body. The other mitzvahs are done by the body, vis-a-vis an object, but here, the object, in this case the tefillin, is going to be tied down to the guf. The guf is going to be bound by the tefillin. And without this ukshartem, there's no mitzvah. And here we see that the chefza shel mitzvah, in this case, is really the gufo shel adam. That's where the tefillin have to be. They have to be connected and tied down, bound to the gufo shel adam. That's the bracha laniach tefillin. The Beis Yosef says, why laniach tefillin? Why not likshar asat tefillin? He says we should have really made the bracha likshar, but we're afraid that somebody might mistakenly think that all you need is likshar, just tie down the tefillin on your body, then take it off, and immediately you fulfill the mitzvah. And that's not so. Yes, you need kshira to tie it down to your body, but then the tefillin have to be munachim ala adam. They have to be lehaniach tefillin, and munachim means they have to remain on the body of the person. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin, in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says, nikraim tefillin, umeinichan osan ala rosh, ukoshin osan al hayad. It's very interesting. With regard to Yad, he writes Likshar. With regard to Tefillin Shel Rosh, he writes Meinichan. I mean, he's really following the pasuk in a very meticulous way. Uksharetem li'olsa yodecha. With regard to the Yad, it's Kshira. And with regard to the Rosh, it is Vayu. L'totofos b'nei necha. Vayu means the Hanocha, having it Munach on his Rosh. And this is what the Rambam wants to emphasize here. Koshrin osal yado. He emphasized the ukshartem liosay yadecha. The Gemara says, kesher shel tefillin aloch l'moshe misinai. The kesher itself is so critical to the mitzvah of tefillin because it means kosher asat tefillin legufo. Make the gufa adam into the cheftza shel mitzvah. And that's hiduk, that's kshira. And you all know that in the L'shem Yichud that's published in the Sidurim, based on the Kabbalah, the language also, the Mechaber, you'll find in Hilchos Tefillin, is that Kshira, in the case of Tefillin Shel Yad, is keneged Alev, Kidei L'shabed is Alev L'avodas Hashem, and with regard to Tefillin Shel Rosh, it's L'shabed is Amachshavos. The Rosh is considered the Mishkan, the host of the Seichel, of the intellect. And it is famous that the Ari asked the question, why did Tefillin Shel Rosh require four different parashios on four different cloths, whereas in the case of Tefillin Shel Yad, all four parashios are written on one cloth. And the Ari said that mitzvah tefillin is to take all the different senses of a person and to be meshabi them to the borei olam. For example, you have chush ha-re'iyah, chush ha-shmiyah, chush ha-dibur, chush ha-re'ach. All of them are in the rush, in the tefillin shel rush. And if in tefillin shel rush, there are four klofim, and in each one we're going to put another one into a different one of the sections of the tefillin shel rush. In the tefillin shel yad, which is really keneged the chush ha-mechush, There, the tefillin shel yad require kshira, but both in tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, in the entire conglomeration, we have the mitzvah tefillin as a meshabed. To be meshabed, the essence of a person, the person should be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that how is a person able to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim bishlemus, he's got to put on his tefillin and then recite kriyat shema, etc., etc. The tefillin have to be kruchos al yado in order to be a mispalel. And now we can begin to understand the difference in the essence of tefillin and this mitzvah from, as opposed to other mitzvahs. And the answer is that in all other mitzvahs, like lulav, like sukkah, like shofar, like mezuzah, Hashem wants the mitzvah to be done al yidei aguf, meaning the man takes into his hand the sukkah, he takes into his hand the shofar, he puts the tefillin, the mezuzah on the delis. All this is understood. In the case of matzah, he eats the matzah, he takes it and he eats it. He's mekayim with his guf, the mitzvah, when he eats the object. But we don't find in any one of these mitzvahs that there's a kshira to the chefetz ha-mitzvah, which is the gufo shel adam. The kshira, which connects and unifies the kedusha of tefillin with the gufo shel adam at the moment of the mitzvah, in chassidus, it means that the gufo shel adam becomes like a chefetz. In other words, normally the gufo shel adam in the pe'ulos ha-adam is the gavra. And then the mitzvah itself, meaning the mezuzah or the talis or the lulav of the matzah, that's the chefetz shel mitzvah. But in tefillin, it's different. The gavra, which is the rush and the yad, that represents symbolically, as we saw, all the different senses of man, all of his physicality and his guf, they become niksharim through the chefetz of tefillin. And now the body itself, the rosh and the lev, become a cheftah shel mitzvah. That's the power and the repercussions of the accomplishment of kshira. When we talk about the Jewish people, we're talking about Jewish people with regard to tefillin. If a zroa or a rosh never had tefillin on it, then it was never, the rush and the lev were never transformed into a cheftah shel kedusha, cheftah shel mitzvah. The power of good kosher tefillin, when they're connected behiduk to the body of a person, is unbelievably powerful. It changes and transforms the person. My Rebbe Rav Salvech used to say that a person who wears tefillin, like the Kohen Gadol who wears the tzitz, becomes this kaddish, he becomes sanctified in a new dimension of kedusha. And therefore the unique definition of the mitzvah of tefillin is that here's a mitzvah that's so significant because it really represents the ultimate purpose of man in this world. Why was man created? It means through the kshira, the kricha, of the tefillin, of kedusha, and the guf itself. That's why Hashem created the world. That's the greatest purpose of the world. To be mekayim the world. To be mekabel on ourselves this concept of krichas haguf v'kedusha ki'echad. And we can begin to understand why is it that if a person omits the mitzvah of tefillin, he's a porek ol with regard to tefillin, chas v'sholom. If he's not being mevata, it's not only that he's being mevata one of the taryag, but it's much more than that. He's a karkafta de lomanach tefillin. He has a guf, and the guf was never suitable for being tied down with a kshira of tefillin. Li karech beofen shel kshira lechefetz shel kedusha shel mitzvah da'inu letefillin. And so the ol malchus shemayim here is left out. The guf, in this case, is completely devoid of any connection, any spiritual connection that was said l'sayel o b'idon achomer. If a person is a karkafta d'lomanach tefillin chas v'shalom, his body is lacking, is deficient in this connection, the spiritual connection that's meant to help him deal with all the physicality of life, and the tefillin, which is meant to be machshir him, to prepare him for the kiyum mitzvah, he's lacking all of that. Of course, we have to understand and appreciate now why the tefillin require a guf naki, if the guf itself is the cheftza on which the mitzvah is done, to sanctify the kiddush hagavra that we spoke about before of the guf. Then, if he doesn't do the mitzvah with a guf naki, if he puts the tefillin and the kshir onto his guf and the guf is not naki, he cannot transform his guf into a cheftzel shel mitzvah. The guf itself has to be transformed into a cheftzel mitzvah, and that requires that the guf be a guf naki, so that the kshir of the tefillin to his guf will produce that kedusha, that sanctity that's needed, that's going to create the shibud and the Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim of all his various senses, of all his physicality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we begin to understand and appreciate why is it that the mitzvah of tefillin becomes a limud l'kol Torah kula. It becomes the malamed, you know, the av for all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. The physical element of the goof of man, which is dense and material, it's not easy to be machshir such a chomer for avodas Hashem for spiritual service. The tefillin are playing that role. They become the agent to create that connection, that spiritual connection, which prepares the goof of shel adam for all the other mitzvahs. In a sense, the chinuch, or the hechsher, for all mitzvahs HaTorah is the wearing of tefillin. Because they, the tefillin, are going to transform the guf into a spiritual entity through the kshira. And when a Jew, and we're talking about, of course, the men here, because the men need it more than the women, when they fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, now they're ready to be mekayim all the other mitzvahs on the highest level, because the mitzvah of tefillin, in a sense, radiates that spiritual elevation that's necessary as a prerequisite for all the mitzvahs of Kol HaTorah Kula. And we began with our question, if you recall, about why the tefillin have to be created on or from the skins of a Beima Tahora, but even a Nevela Trefa is kosher for tefillin. And we wanted to understand, how do you fulfill this principle, this maxim of min amutar beficha, if it's a nevela trefa? After all, nevela trefa also b'achil, it's not min amutar beficha. That was our question. But perhaps, says the Hema Yenachamuni, we can understand this if we go back to our definition that tefillin connects the guf to the spirit, to the kedusha, to the sanctity. We have to decide, you know, what that chefza, that tefillin is going to be, that agent of kedusha is going to be made of. It's got to be made of something called a mintar. But on the other hand, even though this kesher has to be to a mintar, but we have to understand that this kesher is to the body of a human being. The body of a human being is flesh and blood. It's limited. It's finite. You know, we were not created as spirits, as angels. The guf of Bas of Adam is not like ruach. It's not like spirituality. Spirituality could be pure, could be unadulterated kedusha and sanctity, but the guf has certain limitations. And as a result of its physicality, these limitations will ultimately lead to the ups and downs of life. And tefillin, really, this mitzvah is really meant to teach us the proper attitude or approach to what Chazal say is a mintar. The mintar itself, although in and of itself the species lends itself to Kedusha and Tara, but it can become an Avela, it can become a Trefa, it still remains a mintar. Man is a goof, and despite all his limitations and all his deficiencies, if he's on the right path, if his direction is the correct one, if his approach and his will is for the good and for the sake of Hashem, then he still is mukshar. He still is suitable for the mitzvah of tefillin to elevate his guf to a higher level, even though, despite the ups and the downs that man, by the very nature of his being a physical being, is subject to, the vicissitudes, the ups and downs, that mitzvah of tefillin is coming to tell us about all mitzvahs, that as long as a person has the chefetz, he has the desire, he has the direction, his goal, his objective is a mintar, is a mutar beficha, is towards spirituality, towards purity, then he's okay for the mitzvah. Then he's mukshar for the mitzvah. Then he connects his guf to these tefillin which come from a min tahara min behema tahara behema muteres. And even if, for some reason or other, due to the limitations of man, there's no possibility of eating this min tahara, became an avela or a treifa, nevertheless, the min itself, the category, the classification, represents symbolically the ratzon, the will, the approach. And that itself is enough to be machsha the goof, to prepare the goof and make it susceptible and suitable for the hisgabrus, for the kedusha, to go higher and higher and overcome all these limitations, because he's al derech atov, and we have to ask Hashem that he give us arach yomim shnos chayim, that he give us the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin with simcha, to be meshabi the ratzon, that's the lev, to be meshabi the moach, that's the tefillin shel rush, and all achushim as represented by the four compartments of the tefillin shel rush, and the compartment, the single compartment, tefillin shel yad, to bring us closer and closer, dedicated all akoyches, all achushim to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Yisbarach Shmo. Amen. Keni Ratzon Mitziata D'Shmaya will be zocher to that great achievement of the mitzvah of tefillin that'll project us with kedushas haguf for all the mitzvahs haTorah. Keni Ratzon. Amen.